This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is in with us today. We've already done a couple of hours that you should check out, the Big Suey and the Local Hour, wherever it is you get your digital stuff. We got a Back in My Day. We got Ron McGill. We got Jimmy Goldstein, if you do not know that name. How do you explain Jimmy Goldstein to the audience, Stugatz?
Very old and probably the most famous NBA fan, right? NBA super fan, Jimmy Goldstein, always sitting courtside at big games.
Except now he doesn't have games to sit next to courtside legally. I wonder if he tried to buy his way into the bubble or how that works. We will talk to him about that. We also have to get to the useless sound montage. I'd like to do that this segment, but I've got bad news for Mike Ryan and Greg Cody and Homer Heat Nation. Stan Van Gundy is saying, even if Bam Adebayo comes back, this is his analysis. I'm not sure Bam being back helps them in this series, and I love Bam, but they have had two great offensive games without him. That's Myers Leonard, and yeah. Olynyk pull the Laker bigs away from the basket and open up all these drives. The Lakers blocked 8 shots in game 1, and Bam struggled with their size. Olynyk is better offensively, at least versus this team. Bam is much better defensively and on the boards, but Bam can't guard Davis either, so they'll still have to double. So that's what you can watch with us tonight. Possible suffering, according to Stan Van Gundy. Unless Olynyk goes crazy again, which seems, he smells like incense and patchouli. I expect 17-point games from him all the time.
So if Stan was the head coach and Bam was healthy and available, he would bench him.
For Myers Leonard.
Okay.
So we will get to all of these things over the course of the next couple of hours, but you can watch the game with us tonight. On Twitch, we will be doing that. We will have some special guest appearances as well if you want to hang out with us tonight. But, Billy, how do you feel? I always feel for Billy early in the week because he just gets swallowed on Monday by this dungeon of horrible football sound. Last night we got 2 football games. Billy, how did you endure the suffering this week going through the useless sound montage?
I mean, we're here. We've made it. It's Tuesday, and we have 6 whole days until we have to do this again. So we're almost there, Dan.
My brother and I, when we were young, used to talk about Sunday night feeling where you had to go to work, go to school the next morning, and you were kind of dreading it because you weren't totally prepared. Like, how much do you dread
Sunday scaries?
Do you dread Mondays? Do you dread?
Billy dreads every day.
Do you specifically, like, how do you feel specifically about just the arduous task that is going through these horrible football press conferences to find the most feces-soaked sound?
It's a strange feeling because I hate it, and I hate football season because of it. But then when I find it, I'm like, ooh, and I perk up a little bit. And it's like I'm chasing a high of someone saying nose to the grindstone. And it's a strange feeling.
So you
but I'm addicted to it. I can't stop.
So you're perking up on crappy sound. You're perking up. The worse the sound, the happier you are. It's a very troubled existence. Let's go ahead and start the national show today here with the useless sound montage.
Started fast, really didn't do much there in the middle, and then tried to come back at the end. It was just too late.
Started the game well, finished the game well. We just, that middle part, we got to figure out how to play 60 minutes well.
I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
My mom says I'm Patrick and my dad's Pat, so hopefully we can start going Patrick just to keep her happy because I don't want to hear that tonight.
Dak is exactly what you're looking for. You know, he's wired the right way, and his ability to just keep playing through adversity, he never blinks.
We'll take it day by day. We've talked openly throughout this process that 2020 is going to have its challenge because we got to be light on our feet, be ready to adjust and have a hardcore plan. We're ready to live that out. We understand the uncertainty, but we got to have a a high level of professionalism and singular focus in spite of that.
Proud of how, you know, we came down here after the week, threw us a curveball.
It was definitely a long week. It felt like it, for sure, even though it was a short week.
The key is to just be a process guy, to just keep trying to get better.
We will look at it, we'll move on, we'll improve.
We put ourselves in a pretty good hole.
We've obviously dug ourselves in a hole.
We're going to have to dig our way out of it.
What's killing us is ourselves.
I have to be better. I have to be more crisp.
Feels good to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. I'll throw it 0 or 100 times. I'll throw for 7 yards or 500. Doesn't matter to me.
I'd give all those yards back for a different record. I care about one stat, and that's to win.
The application of details did not exist today in certain spots of the game.
At the end of the day, it is what it is. We're 0-4.
Enough's enough, man. You know, we got to correct this right now.
Well, I know who we are and what we're capable of.
Ultimately, the game's going to be decided by, you know, which team has the most points, not who has more first downs or who has more time in possession or, you know, whatever the stat you want.
Points are outrageous. Time of possession is totally lopsided, and we're -7 in a turnover ratio.
You know, scoring's really the name of the game. So, you know, our goal is to move the ball and score points offensively, same as it is every week.
Obviously, for us to be 4-0, it's a huge thing. Just keep winning one game at a time.
If that's a long drive or a short drive or, you know, whatever it is, then that's, you know, that's really what we need to do.
Just great to see players, you know, making plays, making things happen.
He made some plays, obviously, and he missed some plays.
We didn't get it done today, offensively or defensively.
Defensively, we have to play defense.
It's not hard to play defense in this league. It's simple. It's hustle, it's effort, and it's gap control.
You know, throwing 3 interceptions, you're not going to win many times in this league, but we found a way to win tonight.
Like Coach always talks about, next man up, and you don't want to be the weak link. You want to, you know, be the strong link.
I think it makes sense to break the season up into quarters. So finishing the first quarter 3-1 is, you know, well done by the guys.
We got a good young team. We're playing a lot of people. I'm really proud of our first quarter.
The type of mistakes that we made today, it's really a reflection of our first quarter of play.
We're on to the second quarter of the year.
It's a 4-quarter game. It's a 4-quarter season.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Bill Belichick centrally aroused by denying you entertaining football? We gave you the stat earlier that only 3 times has Patrick Mahomes been held to no touchdowns in a first half since he came into the league and started starting. And all 3 of those times, it is Patriots, Patriots, Patriots that have held him to that. You heard yesterday, Stugatz, you heard in that sound that Patrick Mahomes wants to be called Patrick, that his name is Patrick and that his father's Pat. And Louis Riddick got in trouble last week with Patrick Mahomes' mom because he called him Pat Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes' mom wears a shirt in the stands that says, that reads across the back, QB producer, so that everyone knows it's glittery. It's got a lot of rhinestones. Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo. If you were Patrick Mahomes' mom, would you wear a glittery shirt that reads QB producer?
I produce that.
That's right. That came out of this. That's right. That's exactly what she is doing. Greg Cody, as I said, of the Miami Herald is with us today. And before we get to the genius of Belichick, I think one of the geniuses of Belichick is that he keeps getting these stiffs hired, like Bill O'Brien, who foul up places, like Charlie Weiss. I think Notre Dame is still paying Charlie Weiss after he left.
That can't be possible. That cannot be possible. Well, you've been saying that for 5 years now.
It's probably not possible anymore. It's probably indeed over. But the point being that the people next to Belichick don't tend to take whatever it is that Belichick has with them, wherever it is they're going. Can you imagine if Cam Newton had made a couple of the mistakes last night that Brian Hoyer made? Like the end of the first half, where you're playing exactly the game you want to be playing against them. You're holding them to nothing. You're in field goal range. And the only thing you cannot do is take a sack with no timeouts. And Brian Hoyer, who is known to be the savvy guy, he knows the offense. That's a play, Stugatz, that none of us would make.
Right.
None of us would sit in the pocket and get sacked in that situation.
No, but Belichick played last night perfectly right up until late in the third quarter, where it didn't go so well for Bill Belichick and Brian Hoyer.
He still played it perfectly.
They had a chance to win that game if Hoyer could have finished off that drive in the third quarter. He didn't. They went to Stidham, and then the game went to pieces. I mean,
it is a tribute They didn't cover. It looks like they got blown out, but the reason they lost is because Edelman all of a sudden can't hold on to the ball. Unless it's Tom Brady throwing it, Edelman, like the reason they lost was Edelman and Hoyer. That's it. It wasn't even that the Chiefs or Mahomes ended up beating them.
Charlie Weiss earned $16 million, north of $16 million after leaving Notre Dame. The final pay period was December 2015.
Greg, is your Back in My Day ready? Are you excited about your Back in My Day?
It is ready. I am moderately excited. Maybe a solid 5.3 on a scale of 10.
Okay, very good. Greg Cody's Back in My Day is next. This, of course, is Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslam with Rick Ross. Mike Ryan wearing his Homer heat mask. This is important tonight. I was looking here at some advanced stats saying that basically the Jimmy Butler game, when you throw in everything, efficiencies and all of the statistics, only LeBron James has had a better finals game in the history of the finals. Like even Kevin Durant, a bunch of people are beneath Jimmy Butler, and Stugatz is demanding that game from him again tonight.
You think he could do it?
No. Oh. So here is a thing that is happening on the internet that is always interesting to me when it happens. Will you join a craps table, a hot craps roll in the middle of a craps roll? Yes or no?
No.
This is something interesting about people. Like, for example, people who aren't wearing masks right now. You're not supposed to be wearing masks for you. You're doing it for others. So when you don't join a craps table that's hot, you're doing that for others because you don't want to get glared at by the superstitious if a crap out happens as soon as you try to get in on the money. So I am getting hit all over the place yesterday because Mina Kimes was 8-0, and I told you yesterday that she was 8-0.
Yep.
And then you and Chris and everyone jumped in. It wasn't you guys that got yelled at. It was me who got yelled at for saying that she liked Atlanta, while I was saying, among other things, that she keeps picking games that I just would never fall on the side of because I don't trust the teams that she was picking. But she was 8-0, documented. And so this comes in. Big shout out for finally letting us in on the Mina Kimes picks the day she picks Atlanta over Green Bay, you jackass. That's directed at me, and that's how Chris feels.
I text you that. That's my text from you, is it?
Right. The reason I don't jump in on the craps table during a hot roll is because I have a fear the roll's going to come to an end if I jump in. I did not jump in on the Mina Kimes bet. I actually went the other way because she was due for a loss. No one's that good at it, okay?
Oh, wow. Nobody believes you here. Mike Ryan has waved you off.
I took the pack.
You always tell us, you never tell us about losing bets. You're the guy who always comes in here and says, yeah, I won that one, but doesn't tell us beforehand that you were going to win
one. Who cares about the losers? I mean.
But you never lose. You're undefeated in terms of public gambling.
Except for Sue Yagatz.
Dan, I was 0-16 during the bowl season last year.
That is true.
I didn't shy away from it.
That is true. Also, by the way, one of the things that Mike Ryan is very excited about is that Stugatz is the leader in celebrity pickers for College Game Day. They put his photo up above Bill Murray and Chris Paul, and they're going to have to do that all season. What are you? What were you? What was your record?
I was 7-5. I don't know how last week's picker did.
Picking straight up, Dan, that's 7-5. Two games over 500 record will surely stand.
Yes, better than Paul, better than Bill Murray. And I think what they do is they post an image of the leader. So hopefully I'm still the leader and will be the leader the entire season. We'll see.
Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day.
And now, it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Car vacations. If we're grabbing a miner's helmet and a pickaxe in search of anything good about this damn pandemic, it might be that many of us have suspended, at least temporarily, our sad infatuation with air travel. The idea of having to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible convinces us to see as perfectly normal being in a long metal tube hurtling 30,000 feet high in the clouds at 575 miles an hour. We live blur speed lives and then lament how time flies. Fast food, instant information. Why should air travel be any different? Look, I get when flying is a necessity, like for frequent business trips, but why do we apply that to leisure travel, such as vacations? I miss what is nearing extinction in America, the long car vacation of my youth. The getting there was half the fun. We'd spend days on the road once a year, balling the jack up the East Coast from 1440 to visit relatives in Lawrence, Massachusetts, 9 Merrimack View Court, right off the dirty river. This was way before GPS, folks, before MapQuest, even before AAA triptychs. Dad at the wheel, mom with an enormous roadmap unfolded across her lap, Greg Cody and the future Uncle Dick in the back seat, reading comic books or maybe seeing who could spot license plates from the most different states, Georgia or Alabama. Ho-hum, too common, but you'd hit the lottery if you luck to see an Arizona plate. Better yet, one of the Dakotas. Wow. We'd drive from early morning to dusk with a quick lunch break, maybe a second stop if bladders were full, but that was about it. But we loved it because we were traveling in style in a ridiculously long 1966 Chevrolet Malibu Estate station wagon that could seat nine fake wood paneling on the sides, a gleaming chocolate brown in color with a luggage rack on top. Man, we were gobbling up asphalt, splitting wheat fields as majestically as Moses parted the Red Sea. The travel itself was great, but when we stopped for the night, even better. It was always a roadside motel, a motor court, a swimming pool, not the above ground kind like we had at 1440, but a real pool and a shuffleboard court. Maybe a box of fried clams for dinner at the Hojo up the street. We didn't have a lot of money, my family. Why do you think we took long car vacations every year? But those were times we cherished. They were memory machines, those trips. You know, what I mostly remember about those car vacations, what I mostly remember is when I'm stuck flying 30,000 feet up, just shy of the speed of sound, I look around up there. The guy in the middle seat is denying my elbow the armrest. The view from the window, clouds. I strain to see through the clouds. I look down. I imagine that I see, look, it's another 66 Malibu station wagon, just like ours. Except it has a North Dakota plate. I'm Greg Cody.
Yes.
That's how it was.
Yes.
Back in my day.
Yes. A gold mine. The North Dakota plate. We will get to Christine Lisi in a second, but I need an explanation for this Zoom chat argument that has broken out between Chris Cody and Stugatz. Chris Cody has put in the Zoom chat, Stugatz has to be the crappiest celebrity picker for game day ever, correct? And Stugatz didn't like hearing that so much.
I didn't. I mean, J-Lo canceled and they were in a bind and I bailed them out. I mean, I am the worst celebrity picker ever. I was 7-5, which is the best this season, but that's the best they could do on short notice. I mean, I was just pitching in. Jesus, Chris.
I just like the idea of, like, there's a top five, you know, Bill Murray, whoever the top is. And then there's got to be, just because there has to be, a bottom five of celebrity pickers. And you just have to be on there. It's no slight, Stugatz.
Right.
I've never been a guest picker. Dan's never been a guest picker. You've been a guest picker. But, you know, someone's got to be at the bottom.
I would be bottom five. I'm good with that. I'm totally fine with that. In fact, I'm last. I'm fifth on the bottom five.
Well, who would be beneath Stugatz in terms of celebrity pickers? We should reach out to Reese Davis or somebody and ask them who is the single cruddiest celebrity that has ever done the celebrity picking on College Game Day. Before we do that, though, however, I apologize, Christine Lisi, for our interruption.
And finally, Hocus Pocus has topped the U.S. box office charts 27 years after its release. Speaking of getting shine 27 years after your prime, welcome back to another Greg Cody Tuesday.
Yes. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald. You can check out his podcast, the Greg Cody Podcast, featuring Greg Cody. And this week, featuring Billy Gill. I have bad news for you guys, Chris, Billy, or maybe it can't be good news, right? It's got to be bad news if the Marlins win the World Series And then Tim Kirchen is forced to eat some of his words and be gone from our life.
Can I just say that if the Marlins were to win the whole thing, that'd be the most peak 2020 thing?
Oh, 100%.
Well, I would retire after that. It would just be
way
too...
No, don't say that.
No, it would be way too big. It would be too big of a story to cover if the Marlins, after last year and this year, go and win the World Series.
All right, so we have this on tape.
No, burn the tape. We can't have that happen.
Tim Kirchen has threatened to retire if the Marlins win the World Series.
Now, I know how much Billy and Chris love and respect Tim Kirchen. I'm not certain there's a person at ESPN they love and respect more. You have to see how they act when they're around Tim Kirchen. Would you guys be okay with that? Like, what would you rather have? The Marlins winning the World Series, which would drive Tim Kirchen to retirement? Or rather have Tim Kirchen in your lives still working at ESPN?
I'm with Elle. Burn that tape.
Really?
I think I'd take a World Series championship. Ah! Worked hard, you know, let him enjoy the rest of his life, retire, just doing what he loves and watching baseball and box scores and all of that, and not getting paid for it because he retired.
You know, he'd still be going to the games. Tim Kirchen has told us many times that he is a single dimensional person. He is baseball, all the time.
I have reached out to College Game Day trying to get an answer for this. Now, this person is more famous, but they did respond. The person that I reached out to responded, Ryan Lochte once picked the wrong game.
That's very on brand, though.
That's so Lochte.
That's on brand for Ryan Lochte. Also on brand for Stu Gantz, oddly enough. So you end up watching that game last night. How many of you got mad at Brian Hoyer? Just even if you don't want the Patriots to win, is this allowed to be a thing that's so... You don't want the Patriots to win, and you're getting mad at Brian Hoyer because the quarterback position is being played with an artistry at the top level that we have never seen before, and there's Brian Hoyer in the middle of it, the turd in the punch bowl.
They've only won one Super Bowl so far. You could probably chalk up a couple future Super Bowls to that team, but they haven't reached the point that the Patriots were, where, like, these guys are just so annoying. I want them to stop winning. So when I watch them, I still like Patrick Mahomes. I'm still excited by it. It's still all very new to have a new team atop the AFC. But I do want some doubt creeping in, right? Because it looks like they're going to run away with it. How do you stop this quarterback? If not for injury, Bill Belichick gave us a blueprint, right?
But he's the only one who's got it, though, because we've told you that's...
Well, him and all the assistants that have been under his staff getting jobs. And where one door closes on Bill O'Brien, another one opens for Romeo Crennel.
Do you guys... what kind of odds do you think you could have gotten on Chiefs-Patriots being 6-3 at the half?
Oof.
I mean... Exact score. Like, you're talking...
On 6-3? On 6-3?
Yeah, you're talking about, like... Plus, like, you're talking about 120-1.
Yeah, but, I mean, to Dan's point, I was frustrated with Belichick. He's such a good coach, but he took something that should have been so entertaining and made it boring.
He robbed us of it. He did. He does that. I mean, that Super Bowl where he just short-circuited the Rams' offense that had been, you know, pretty damn hard to stop all season. Here's what I want you to marvel at as an audience, okay? Because you know that I'm on looking at the televisions right here, and everyone's talking about football. It's Mike Florio and Chris Sims on one channel. It's First Take on another channel. Everyone talking football, and no one can explain to you how Belichick does what he does. All of these people paid to talk about football, and none of them had 6-3 at the half. He can smother Mahomes that way, even though he's done it two other times.
I don't remember this one, but I have an answer. Stu Gatz is not the worst celebrity picker ever. One time, Gene Wojciechowski had to be dressed up as a president at James Madison University because they struck out.
Yes!
I think he had to dress up as James Madison.
So wait a minute. So who was the celebrity picker? Did we know it was Gene, or did we think it was a James Madison?
Yeah, it might have. Let me find out the president that he dressed up as.
This is an important distinction.
Yes.
If it's Gene, then yes, you have beaten us, and Stu Gatz is not the crappiest of impersonators. But if they didn't mention that it was Gene and they just said we're joined now by James Madison,
that's a president.
It's an American president. That's absolutely right. Continue the investigation, please, Mike.
News from the Dan Le Batard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Eric Flynn at eFlynn84 responds to Dan saying that Patrick Mahomes' mother wears a T-shirt that says QB producer. with pretty sure the mother of Rocket and Quadri Ismail was known as the launch pad. If that is true.
Is it true? God. We got to find out if that is if that is true. Tony, tell the people where they can find us tonight if you want to be a part of us watching the Heat telecast. Some of you might enjoy watching us suffer if you think the Miami Heat is going to lose. Tell the people where they can find us.
Twitch.tv/LeBetardandFriends. Shortly before kickoff, we'll be going live.
All right. Tip-off is what we're going for there. Yes, that's okay. It's fine, Tony. You played in a pro-am league in basketball at one time. Mike, I'm not kidding when I say this. Stu Gatz, as many of you know, Stu Gatz does his own private show just for me during breaks. And sometimes it's not even like I'm here. And so what I just got from Stu Gatz sort of spit at the floor was these four words. Jimmy Goldstein, bad idea.
I mean, Mike, listen, we had a run with Jimmy Goldstein, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. He was old then. I was concerned then about Jimmy Goldstein. And here we are 7 years later, bringing on a guy that I was worried about 7 years ago. I mean, this is a terrible idea.
You said it yourself. Right. We had a run.
Yeah.
A reoccurring guest was Jimmy Goldstein, yes. Which means what? He was great.
Yes.
I cannot wait for his return to our show.
Mike, listen, I'm with you. I wanted Jimmy to co-host the show with us one day, mostly because I wanted access to all the celebrities that he knows. But he was really old then. Do you realize that? Like, you realize, Mike.
Was I aware that Jimmy Goldstein was old 6 years ago? Yes.
Yes, but here we are 6 or 7 years later bringing on an like NBA super fan who can't get into any games.
Well, this is the thing, right?
Some would say he looks like Tom Petty now.
Okay.
For those of you. Wait
bad
a minute.
Idea, man.
That was you saying that. There's no, not others saying that. Many people are saying this. I believe that that's you saying it. You're clouding it in a shroud of deflection. Where are these many people saying this? I demand to know who they are.
The
a lot of chatter about Jimmy Goldstein.
Many people say it.
All right. So Jimmy Goldstein is going to join us at 11:30. If you do not know who that is, one way to describe him is the way Stu Gatz did, which is NBA superfan. Has been at courtside. I don't know. One of the things that was interesting about him is he's a mystery. How does he have all this money that he can be at every finals game with the very best seats since the beginning of time? And Stu Gatz is right when he says that he was just trying to get Jimmy Goldstein's contact list so that during the finals we could have somebody on with us again and again. But, Mike, if you could look up the age of Jimmy Goldstein, Scarecrow is something that Mike said. He also said that others are saying Tom Petty in his current state.
Right, not Mike, others. Jimmy's 80 right now.
All right, so 80 years old, but also leathery, and also has a wardrobe that is leathery. A wardrobe of yeah. he is
and bedazzled at times. He's an adventurous fashionista,
and he wears like a cowboy hat as well. Does he not?
Oftentimes, like a scarecrow, like straw hat. At least that's how I perceive it. But it's more of like a longer fedora. I follow him on Instagram. He's got a famous house. I think his house was featured in The Big Lebowski. When the dude goes to that amazing looking house in the Hollywood Hills. Well, by the way, before I find his age, we did track down sound of Ryan Lochte picking the wrong game on College Game.
All right, we've got his age already. We said it was 80 years old. You were looking up this Lochte sound, so go ahead and play it.
It's Destiny, of course, in the SEC against Johnny Football, the freshman phenom for A&M, Ryan. Who gets that one?
I think they're gonna end their six-game losing streak in the SEC, so I'm gonna have to go with Auburn.
All right, we're talking about
Auburn.
We're going LSU.
Oh, I'm definitely gonna go with LSU.
No doubt, LSU.
Yeah, I mean,
no doubt. No doubt. There was never any doubt. Do you know how much of a useless sort of broken sponge your brain has to be to fluster that particular crew of broadcast professionals? Like when you've
not even Stu Gatz did it.
No, like play that again just so that you guys can hear how discombobulated Chris Fowler, consummate professional, gets by just the unrelenting waves of stupidity provided by Ryan Lochte.
It's Destiny, of course, in the SEC against Johnny Football, the freshman phenom for A&M. Ryan, who gets that one?
I think they're gonna end their six-game losing streak in the SEC. So I'm gonna have to go with Auburn.
We're going LSU.
That's never happened to Fowler.
That's never happened to Fowler since. He's the most prepared person in the business.
No, you have insight. Someone said, we're skipping that one. It's live TV. Sometimes games get cut, but Ryan Lochte just couldn't follow.
He just stuck to his pick. Cody, you've been wanting to get in on this Jimmy Goldstein talk.
Well, I love it when any guest is older than I am. That just makes me smile because, you know, to know people are still out there who are even older than me. But
he won't sound older than you, Greg. You do realize that, right? Like Jimmy Goldstein,
sound like a spring chicken.
Jimmy Goldstein will come on here, and I don't know what a spring chicken sounds like exactly.
Do you, young.
Do you? I know what the expression means, but I don't know what an actual spring chicken is. I just know that it's a useless cliche for you to drop in the middle of what we were doing. Like, fundamentally useless.
Totally.
You simply could not help yourself on this front. But I'm sorry, Greg. You were saying we interrupted you. It's rude to interrupt you.
Well, I'm going to challenge Jimmy Goldstein.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.